Good morning. From time to time, Johnny, Pastor Johnny, or others have shared some truth from God's Word about this word agape. It's God's love. It's the love of God that we're called to live. And I know about you, but I find that the biggest challenge in my walk is consistently walking in love. And this song is just meant to kind of give a glimpse into the value of that love when we walk in it. The longer I live, the more I'm amazed at this love God's called us to live in, where we never hold grudges, stop being judges, where no wrong ever goes unforgiven. What a difference this love could make in our lives, in our workplace, our homes and our streets. The world would seem new for me and for you, filled with his joy and his peace. So what holds us back? What gets in the way when it comes to this gift from above? Is it the pride in our hearts that keeps us apart from the living of this kind of love, this kind of love? It's all about love, it's all about love, it's all about his love, my friend. It's all about love, God's special kind of love, it's all about his love, my friend. Now love makes a promise that it never will fail. It has no equal, nothing comes close to this gift we've been given for the days we are living. It's the one thing we clearly need most. We need most. It's all about love, it's all about love, it's all about his love, my friend. It's all about love, God's special kind of love. It's all about his love, my friend. Now what a difference this love could make in our lives, in our workplace, our homes and our streets. The world would seem new for me and for you, filled with his joy and his peace. So what holds us back? What gets in the way when it comes to this gift from above? Is there the pride in our hearts that keeps us apart from the living of this kind of love, this kind of love? It's all about love, it's all about love, it's all about his love, my friend. It's all about love, God's special kind of love, it's all about his love, my friend. It's all about his love, my friend. It's all about his love, my friend. Now love makes a promise that it never will fail. It has no equal, nothing comes close to this gift we've been given for the days we are living. It's the one thing we clearly need most. We need most. It's all about love, it's all about love. It's all about his love, my friend. It's all about love, God's special kind of love. It's all about his love, my friend.
Thank you so much, Fred. For the last couple months, I've had the joy and the privilege of helping Fred record his new album. So at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, Fred and I get together and we're doing studio time. And it's pretty cool because I get to, after a long, stressful day, I get to sit back and listen to him play for several hours. And it's just like, oh, what a blessing it is. So. And even with my headphones on, and I turn them up really, really loud, you know, get a cup of coffee and just relax, but really good stuff. All right. Well, you know that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Well, part of that is right. Sticks and stones can and will break your bones. But the second part of that saying is simply not true. Words can hurt, and words do hurt. And we all know that to become followers of Christ, who truly follow Christ, we must learn to watch our words, because the words that we speak, the things that we say, not only affect and influence the relationships we have with one another, but with God. And I think that's the key reason that David, King David, wrote these words that we're going to look at this morning, and that's Psalm 19:14. Would you give that to me, Doug? King David, in chapter 19, he talks about how the law of the Lord is perfect and how it revives the soul, and he's talking about how the presence of God's word in our lives really changes. But he ends this chapter with this key verse. He says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer." And I just want to begin this morning with a challenge to you. I'm not going to wait at the end of my message to get this to you. I want to challenge you to write this verse down and put it up in your bathroom mirror or someplace where every morning this week, before you begin your day, you can pray this prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation of my heart, the things that I think about, the things that I dwell upon, my desires, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. And I'm going to guarantee you, if you do this, you're going to be closer to people this week, and you're going to be closer to God. It's a money-back guarantee, all right? If you will apply this verse, it's going to change your relationships, and you'll see how important this is, not only with your spouse or your people in your house, your family, those at work, those at school, but also your relationship with God. Because there is an inseparable relationship between our relationships with one another and our relationship with God. It's all intertwined. And that's why King David said these very important words, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight." I want to tell you, this is the easiest verse to apply on Sunday morning. You know what I'm talking about? When we're singing God's praises, when we're hugging each other and we're just being really nice and friendly to one another. This is very easy to apply on Sunday mornings. But this is one of the most difficult verses to apply in real life settings. When you get home and the house is a mess, you know, when you're playing softball, like we're going to be playing here in a few months, you're playing softball and the ump makes a bad call, you know. When you're coaching and your kid's not paying attention, or when your kids mess up, or when others mistreat you at work, the list goes on and on. And when we're in real life settings, this is where we need to pray this prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. And we must control our words and our hearts, because these two things, like I said, they're pivotal to us being Christ followers. And King David was well aware when he said this, when he wrote this verse, when he wrote these words, he was well aware that our words and our thoughts can really mess us up, even to the place where we are not pleasing to God. In fact, our words and hearts can take us far away from God. So I want you to write this down, if you would, this first point. Your words have power. We've got to realize this, that our words have power. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived on the earth. And he said this in Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you love life, you're going to, you know, and you speak words that are of life, the consequences are eating the fruit of life. And the same applies to death. If you love things of darkness, the words that you speak, there are going to be consequences, and you're going to be eating of that fruit. And so it's with our words that we heal or destroy. It's with our words that we can encourage or hurt, because words have the power of life and the power of death. I want to read you what James said on the subject, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I don't think I have it up here, but just listen to these words. James said in James 3, 5 and 6, James said, "The tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and the tongue is a flame of fire." Picture that in your head, this tongue, a flame, you know, like you're talking and fire coming out of your mouth. That's really what the tongue is, James is saying. It can be a flame of fire. Those of you that have been the recipient to those kind of words, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Words can cut right to the heart. They can change your whole course of life. They can influence your decisions by words that are spoken. You know what I'm talking about? Words can be a flame of fire. And he goes on, he says, "It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction, for it is set on fire by hell itself." So let's cut to the chase. How are we doing with our words? How are you doing with the things that you say? What is the state of your tongue? Is it like a flame of fire from hell? Or are your words pleasing to God? And I want to challenge you this morning to really think about the words that you speak, because the words that we say should be pleasing in the sight of God. In fact, this is what Solomon said in Proverbs 11:12. He said, "A man who lacks judgment derides or belittles, cuts down his neighbor. But a man of understanding holds his tongue." And if you don't hold your tongue, if you use words to destroy, to deride, to vent, to complain, to display anger, to hurt, rather than being a conduit of God's grace, you're going to create damage. You might not even be aware of the damage that you create, but we know from our own experiences and from God's word that words have that type of power. I remember growing up as a kid, maybe just a small little kid, and I told one of the guys in my church that I attended that I wanted to be a teacher. And Roger started to laugh, and he said, "You could never be a teacher. You have to be really good at public speaking to be a teacher. There's no way you can do that." And I remember going through high school, going through college, these words would keep playing in my head that I could never do it. Now listen, he didn't mean any harm by that. He was just probably being practical. Just like when we say words, we don't sometimes mean any harm by it. We're just being ourselves. But we've got to remember that words have power. Words spoken over your children today, you don't even realize the consequences that they're going to have 30, 40, 50 years from now. I talk to grown adults that are in their 50s and 60s, and they're still hurt by the words that were spoken to an adult, by a grandparent or by a parent when they were in the house, that they couldn't be anything that they wanted to be, that their potential was limited. Your words have the power of life. Your words have the power of death. And we got to get to that place as we become Christ followers to say, Lord, may the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. May everything I speak be words of encouragement to strengthen and to not tear down. Many of you know that for the last several months, I've served as an editorial contributor for Family Life Communications, and I've had the privilege of working with Dr. Randy Carlson, whose radio show, Intentional Living, is aired across more than 260 radio stations in the nation and across the world. But I get to read these testimonies all the time about the impact of his ministry, the impact of his words. And this just last week, I was looking at a testimony from a lady named Mary. And 20 years ago, she was going to have an abortion. And Randy Carlson, 20 years ago, was talking about life and the preciousness of life and how God speaks life into existence. And the words that he was speaking 20 years ago stirred something in her to have her baby. And she was writing in to say that she wanted to donate to the ministry, to Intentional Living, $19 a month to represent every year of life that her son has lived. He's now 19. And she says, I don't know what life would be like without my son, Larry. Words spoken 20 years ago have an impact. And so we have to remember that our words, they have that power of life and death. And we got to use those words appropriately because they have a lasting effect. And so I think a key to this is what King David also prayed in Psalm 141:3. Doug, if you'd go to that. King David said, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. See, as the king of a kingdom, David was no stranger to attack from enemies. He knew the role of a guard. What does a guard do? A guard protects and keeps watch. A guard makes sure that the one being guarded is safe and secure. And David praises God, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And that saying, if you can't say something nice, don't say something at all, it actually has some relevance. We got to set a guard over our mouths and watch what we say. Really be intentional about saying words that instruct and encourage and help and heal, and not words that tear down. The fact is, I think some of us, we just talk too much. We don't know when to stop talking. I was thinking about this, and I went back to the heyday of my life, and I remembered this song. Check this out.
Shut up!
This song? Those of you that are 80s kids, huh? I feel like some inspiration here.
Hey, you over there, I know about your kind.
You're like the independent network
news on Channel 9. Everywhere that you go,
no matter where you are at,
I said you talk about this
and you talk about that. When the cat took so big,
one bite could kill a Big Mac.
You talk too much.
Never shut up.
I said you talk too much.
Oh boy, you never shut up.
That's good, Doug.
You talk about people.
Thank you, yeah. Run DMC. But the truth of that song, boy, sometimes we just talk too much. We don't know when to stop talking. And as we pray this prayer, Lord, may the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. We've got to use discernment when we speak, right? We've got to use discernment and wisdom as we speak, because our words are the way we communicate with God and with others. It's all based on the words we speak. That's how we communicate. And so that's why we need to be very, 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 very careful about the things that we say. And it goes to this. This is the next point. Your words stem from your heart. It all relates to the heart. That's why David said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing, because the two go hand in hand. The words that we speak, they're just the overflow of really what's happening in our heart. That's what Jesus said. Look at these words from Jesus from Matthew 12. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. You catching that? If you hear words that are powerful of encouragement and of healing, Jesus is saying the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Listen, I'm going to take Jesus at his words. I'm going to really take him at his words to believe what he is saying is truth, that I'm going to be held account for every single careless word that is spoken. And Jesus says, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So Jesus is saying, if the things you say are not good, you don't have a word problem, you have a heart problem. So, because the words are just they're indicative of what's going on deep down inside us. And just to remind you, when we talk about the heart in the Bible, the Bible's heart is not the organ that pumps blood. Although sometimes we use that as a symbol, the Lord, I give you my heart. You won't want to just say, Lord, my heart. But the heart really is three things. It's our intellect and thinking ability. That's, you know, the heart is where we have that ability to reason. So that it's our thought life. That comes from our heart. So if you've heard that saying, you know, your mind is in the gutter, well, we know that it's going to be reflected in your speech. If your mind is in the gutter, it will be reflected by the way you talk. If you have a dirty heart, you'll be more prone to dirty jokes and things that are of that nature. Because if the mouth speaks of the overflow of what's going on in the heart, that thinking ability that we have, that reasoning ability. And that's why the Apostle Paul talks about making every thought obedient to the captivity of Christ. We take every thought that we have and we filter it through Christ. Is this something Christ would say? Is this something Christ would think? That is the ultimate filter of whether or not the things that we say are good and pure and right and trustworthy and noble and all those things that Paul talks about in Philippians 4:8. Because Christ is our filter. Would Christ think this way? And so our heart is our thinking ability. It's also our emotions and will. The Bible talks about having hearts of joy and you know, all those different emotions that we have. You know, anger comes out of the heart. If we just get angry and we blow up and we use anger in a wrong way, you know, it's not holy anger or righteous anger, but we're using anger to, you know, that's coming from what the Bible calls the heart. The heart also consists of our conscience. You know, that allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you. And that's all a heart, an issue of the heart. So when we say, may the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, we're talking about our thoughts. We're talking about our desires, our emotions. May all these things be pleasing to you. When I'm tempted to be angry, may I be kind. When I'm tempted to think impure thoughts, may I fix my mind on things above. Because these are the things that are of the heart. And these, when you hear people talk a certain way, you know it's not their mouth. It's coming right from the heart. With young people today, I'm going to tell you, those of you that know me and hang around me, you know that I'm not a legalistic guy. You know, you'll talk to some pastors that say, if you listen to any secular music, you're going to hell. To me, that's baloney, you know. But I do know the impact of music, and I do know that there is some music that it fixed my heart on things that are not from above. You know what I'm talking about? In fact, I remember earlier this year, our family taking that 30-day challenge from Family Life Radio, and we decided we're just going to, for 30 days, only listen to Christian music. Even though, in my opinion, Christian music is kind of subpar these days to real music, what some of it would call. But okay, we're just going to listen to music that has a godly influence. I want to tell you this. It changes the way you think, because if you're listening to music a lot like we do, you're listening to songs of worship, songs of praise, songs that glorify God, not some beautiful chick. You know what I mean? You're feasting your heart on things of the Lord. And to me, that's a powerful thing to be able to do. And it's all, you know, as we choose to be followers of Christ who really follow Christ, for my own life, I want to fix my heart on what Paul said. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. And for us, it's a way to guard my heart. And we know that if we have this assignment from God to have hearts that are pure, we got to do all we can to really get our hearts set in that direction. It's our responsibility as the followers of Christ to keep that pure heart. That's why Proverbs 4:23, Solomon said, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips." It goes right back to the heart. How do we do this? How do we set a guard over our hearts? God's going to help us. That's why David cried out, "Create in me a clean heart." God will give you that strength and that power to have a heart that is pure and clean. David, when he went through all of his troubles in the Bible, he says, "Create in me a clean heart." Because he realizes that he can't do it on his own. And I want to give you the starting point for a right heart and words that are pleasing to God. And that's this. We must root our hearts in God's word. There's no other way around it. If we're going to really take this prayer from David seriously, where David says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you." We've got to root our heart in God's word. This is what Psalm 37:31 says. "The law of God is in his heart. His feet do not slip." Psalm 48 similarly says, "I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." Planning your life on the Word of God, that's where it begins. The Bible is useful for teaching and instruction, correcting and training in righteousness, right? So that the man of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So as we really renew that passion to be in God's Word and to plant our heart in God's Word, he's going to teach us. He's going to correct us. He's going to show us where our heart is getting off track a little bit. He's going to show us where we need to make changes, where we need to stop doing things or start doing things as we allow our heart to be pliable and as we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and correct us. I lost some of you when I started talking about music, right? Some of you think, "Oh, great." No, I'm not. Listen, I'm just talking about for me and my house. Do I listen to music that's not Christian? Sure I do. I just bought the new U2 CD, and I like it. So I'm not, this is not a thing of legalism. I'm saying, and if you like, you know, whatever music is, it's great. But I'm saying that there's some music that you should not listen to, and you know it. There's some music that is perverse. There's some music that is blatantly godless. Can we agree on that? There's some music that is just trash. And rather than helping us fix our heart on things above in God, it takes us down a road and our hearts are getting ugly and muddy, and because music has that power to really affect us, you know. But for me, I just want to make sure that my heart is all God's. You know, I don't want to hold back anything. I did that for years, where I'm just giving part of myself, or, you know, myself fully on Sunday mornings, and then the rest of the week, I'm just whatever. I don't want that for myself. I don't want that for my house. I want us to be God followers 24/7 who are truly fixing our lives and hearts on the Lord Jesus. So back to our prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What a great prayer for us to pray. You know, I may, if you pray it in the morning, you start, even when you start out in your morning and during the week, you may be tempted to think improperly. You may be tempted to react in an ungodly way. And you may, in turn, say dumb things that simply aren't holy. That's why praying this is so powerful. Lord, may the words that I speak, may the words that I speak to the people I love the most, may the words that I speak to people around me, may it be something that is pleasing in your eyes. It's important for us in review because your words have power. They have the power of life and death. And as followers of Christ, we are called to bring life to a dying world. That's our calling. We're called to be salt and light, not dirt. That's our calling. We're called to be salt and light to people around us that are dying and lost, and our words have that power to speak life, to speak words of testimony and praise. I tell you, use your words to tell somebody what God is doing in your life. It has a domino effect. And that's my encouragement to you. Let's really be intentional. Starting this week, for some of you, this may be a prayer you want to pray through the month of May for the rest of your life. But I just want to encourage you to take it this week, to pray it in the morning, maybe at noon, maybe at memorize it. Remember what David said? I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you memorize scripture, it has that effect because you're getting ready to say something stupid and the Lord triggers it. May the words of my mouth in the middle. Oh, that's right. And so you can't hold back if you're being obedient to Christ. Let's do it because our whole life is relationship. Is that right? Everything in life is about relationship unless you're living on an island. And most of us aren't doing that. Some of us want to do that. But most of us are in the context of relationships. So let's use those relationships to be pleasing to God. I know this morning some of you probably tell your own stories of how words have had a negative effect in your life, how words have had a positive effect in your life. Do you have stories like that? All of us do, and that's why we've got to just channel those words. But where does it begin? It begins with the heart. We've got to let God do that heart work within us. So, Lord Jesus, I just pray right now for all of us, Lord. All of us here, Lord. There's not one of us, Lord, that gets this right every time, Lord, because none of us are perfect. If we were perfect, Lord, we wouldn't need you as a Savior. And we need you, Lord. And we need your help in this area, Lord, because we know, Lord, we believe the scripture that the words do have power and life. And so, Jesus, we just ask you right now, Lord, to, first of all, Lord, do a work in our hearts. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be moving right now in our lives, Lord. Maybe even thinking of areas where we need to give an apology to someone for words that are spoken, Lord. Maybe it's recent, Lord. We need to apologize for something that we said that hurt somebody. Holy Spirit, convict us right now. Move in our lives because, Lord, we want to follow you the way that you've intended us to follow you. We don't want to follow you, Lord, the way that we think it should be, Lord, because we will put you in a box. We don't want to put you in a box, Lord. We want you to do a work within us, Lord, that makes us like you. So I pray that you'd move in us right now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand together.
You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
You are my daily bread.
You are my daily bread. You are my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. desperate for you, my Jesus. And I'm lost without you, my Savior. Let's sing, "You Are My Mighty King." You are my mighty King. You are my mighty King. Your face I see, your touch I need. My life I give to you. My life I give to you. I need you, Jesus. I need you now. And I'm desperate for you, my Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus, we really mean this, Lord. We do want to be desperate for you, Lord. We do, Lord, want to be pleasing to you. So right now, Lord, I just pray that we would leave this room today, Lord, with just a renewed desire, a renewed hunger, Lord, to please you in all areas of our lives, beginning with our words and our heart. May our words, Lord, speak words of encouragement and healing, and words, Lord, that bless, but not words that destroy, words that hurt. Lord, we just surrender our hearts to you, Lord. We need you, Jesus, and we commit all of this to you in the matchless name of Jesus, the one who changed my life. Amen. All right, say something kind to your neighbor, would you? You're dismissed.